This is The Takeaway. I'm Matt Katz, filling in for Tanzina Vega, who will be back next week. A year ago this month, Hurricane Harvey made landfall on the Texas coast, triggering 4 days of extreme rainfall. Harris County, which includes the city of Houston, experienced catastrophic flooding. Many residents, like Delicia Thomas, needed help. Her fiancé, 38-year-old Randy Belcher, was diabetic and stuck without his insulin, and he was having trouble breathing. The entrance to their apartment complex was underwater, so Delicia called 911.
Are you with the patient now?
He is there.
Okay, I'm sending a paramedics to help you now. You stay online. I'll tell you exactly what to do next, okay?
Okay.
Before the medics arrive, put away any pets, medications, unlock the door, and turn on the outside lights.
Okay.
If anything changes, you call us back immediately for further instructions, okay?
Okay.
Hours went by, and no one came. So, Delicia called again.
Yes, ma'am. And she told me to call back. If anything got worse.
We have units en route, ma'am. I don't know how long it's going to take for them to get there, though. You got to understand we're going through a hurricane. Just sit tight, okay?
But EMS was not en route. Her fiancé's condition was getting worse. 12 hours after her first call, she dialed 911 again.
We do have the information, and we will try to get an ambulance to you as soon as we can, ma'am. I need to disconnect to take another call, ma'am.
And again.
Tell me exactly what happened.
I called earlier.
Okay, so you already called 911?
Yes, ma'am, and I've been calling since midnight. Been telling me the same thing.
Okay, ma'am. We'll go ahead and update the call slip, okay, ma'am? And someone will get to you as soon as they can, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Another hour and a half went by. The situation was getting dire, so Delicia's friend Lois tried 911 on her behalf.
My name is Lois Pearson. I'm calling on behalf of someone else.
Let them know that wait times right now are exceeding 12 to 14 hours, okay? We'll get there as soon as they can. If they can have a white towel or T-shirt, something that they can wave out the window so the rescuers can see them, they need to be on the lookout for them from now on, okay?
And that's going to be by boat, correct?
Boat or high water truck or even Coast Guard and Air Force are rescuing.
Okay.
2 more hours go by. Randy is struggling to breathe. With tears rolling down her face, Delicia tried 911 for the 6th time.
Your first name?
Delicia.
Okay, tell me exactly what happened.
Right, I've been calling since midnight. And my
Okay, I'm sending the paramedics to help you now. Stay on the line, I'll tell you exactly what to do next.
After more calls, 911 call takers coded Randy as urgent and finally pushed to get the dying man immediate help. But it was too late. Randy's body lay dead in the apartment for 2 days before he could be retrieved. And yet, Randy is not among those counted in Hurricane Harvey's official death toll. Sherry Fink is the reporter behind a new story for the New York Times Magazine about failures of emergency response in Harvey's aftermath. Sherry, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thank you.
Sherry, this was really powerful and emotional reporting in this story about the failures of the emergency response system after Hurricane Harvey. Can you tell us what primarily failed in the case of Randy and others like him who experienced these medical emergencies during the storm?
It was a failure to prioritize people who had a life-threatening situation in the midst of a major emergency. And so many, many people had floodwaters around their homes. Many people had some water in their houses. It took, you know, emergency response starts locally. The local resources were tapped out. The federal and state resources were having trouble getting in because of the storm. And so there weren't a lot of, you know, those high water vehicles, those boats early on. And if you step back and think about it, you want to prioritize those resources for the people who, in the midst of this mass emergency, need them the most. And that's what didn't work here.
And why? Was that a system-based, that there just wasn't enough of a plan for prioritization? Was it human error? Was it just, you know, the circumstances of a terrible storm?
Well, you could say it's all of the above, mm-hmm. but there was somewhat of a failure of logic in the system. So there'd been a lot of planning. Harris County, where this took place, which has Houston within it, mm-hmm. It's a county of over 4.5 million people. They've had a lot of storms in recent years. They've had a lot of flooding. They do a lot of planning. They have a whole emergency response system. And they believe, one of its leaders told me, that, you know, the goal is to reach people who have a life-threatening situation, even if it might not be due to flooding. So if they have a medical problem. The problem was that for that, the idea, the identification of somebody who's sick, which starts with that 911 system, all the way through to sending the local responders, then the local responders, if they can't get there, needing to raise the alarm and try to get resources from the county or the state or the federal system. And that complex chain of sort of links was broken and wasn't really established to make that happen in a very smooth way.
So walk us through this. From the moment of a 911 call, what would have to happen for someone to get the necessary care under the circumstances like during Harvey?
So the 911 system, people might be surprised to know, is primarily across the U.S. an analog system. So there's a common recognition that it needs to upgrade to like internet-based protocols so that in a storm like this, when the 911 call centers are overwhelmed, you could spread out those calls to other centers that aren't affected and have more effective call taking. So that's step one. And then making sure that the 911 call takers are able to do their jobs. From there, those call takers are kind of in a silo. They only can dispatch to the local fire and ambulance. In this case, the local fire station had no boats or high water trucks. They were, however, in charge of rescues. That's their job under the county system. So they were having a lot of trouble. Then in this particular part of Harris County, the ambulance system was completely separate from the fire rescue system. So when that call was dispatched to the EMS system, they didn't have boats either. So they had to coordinate with the local fire station. And those communications kind of broke down in the disaster.
So these problems, are they specific to Texas and Harvey? I mean, you said that most 911 systems are analog. I mean, is this common? And is this a problem for future disasters anywhere around the country?
Absolutely. It's, you know, our public safety systems don't get a lot of funding. We tend to forget about how important they are until we need them. And so as a result, they're poorly funded. A lot of the 911 systems, they're all either local or state jurisdictions. So there's like no federal mandate to upgrade, even though there's a common recognition that that needs to happen.
Sherry Fink is here with me. We're talking about her new reporting for the New York Times Magazine on the aftermath of Hurricane Harvey in Harris County, Texas. Sherry, I want to turn to the death toll numbers. There's been a lot of news in the last few days about Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico just revised its death toll number from an initial 64 people who died during that storm to nearly 3,000 people. 36 deaths have been attributed to Harvey in Harris County, Texas, but those numbers, based on your reporting, do not include people like Randy, who we heard about earlier, who died because of delayed care. How high do you estimate the actual death toll should be if you include people like Randy?
So I think the big difference here is that we saw in Puerto Rico that the official toll was standing at 64 people. It hadn't been revised until just 2 days ago.
Right.
And that was because it was focusing on people who died as a direct result of the environmental impact of a storm, like a flood, like drowning. That is how Harris County does their calculations. What the CDC now says is that that's not a full measure of the death toll of a major disaster. And that is why we saw the numbers go to almost 3,000 in Puerto Rico when mm-hmm. research showed that excess people died. They did a calculation how many people normally would be expected to die based on, you know, previous non-storm months and years, and saw that there was a big spike in deaths. I tried to look at that in Harris County, and from preliminary data, it does look like the month of August, more people died than one would have expected. Typically, the same number of people roughly die in July and in August. And that August last year, about 200 more people died than they did that July. So it's hard to tell exactly, and there will be more research needed. But undoubtedly, people like Randy, people like other people included in the story,
yeah.
also very much likely would not have died sure. if not for the storm.
Tell us about Randy. He's the father of, he was the father of 12 kids. What did his death mean for his family and his fiance?
So his fiance said that he was her best friend, not surprisingly. His mom said he was the glue that held so many people together in his family, in his circle of friends. And his life mattered. His death has left a huge gap in the family, and obviously all of those children who no longer have a father.
What would it take to get 911 technology nationwide to where it needs to be in order to save lives like Randy during a storm?
Well, it's interesting. Just getting a call from your phone to a 911 call center requires quite a number of steps, and it's everything from the carriers, especially now that most of us have mobile phones. The wireless carriers have to play along. They have to upgrade their technology. A lot of calls are misrouted now because they're, you know, our phones know where they are, our smartphones, but yet the technology that's used to locate you when you call 911 is not very accurate. It's based on cell phone towers. So it's everything from that to the call centers themselves being able to upgrade right. their networks.
Sherry, what do you see as the most urgent takeaway from your reporting? What can we learn for the future?
I think that for many years, we've seen that people are vulnerable in disasters if they're in hospitals and nursing homes. But there's been far less focus on, you know, where any of us could be out and have a medical emergency in the midst of a crisis like that and need help. So that really needs to be focused on. And I think we saw an incredible response, the citizens in Texas and Louisiana going out with their boats using Google Maps and mining social media to try to find people who needed help. And so the citizens can do that. Certainly our public officials and safety officials could do that too. So we really need to think about these people who could need help at home.
Sherry Fink is a correspondent at the New York Times, and she's the author of the book 5 Days at Memorial about patients who died in a hospital during Hurricane Katrina. Her new reporting about Hurricane Harvey's aftermath is in the latest New York Times magazine, and you can find it online now. Sherry, thank you so much for all of your hard work and your reporting.
Thank you.
A lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.